Hare Krishna.
Asina,
Dhyana Asina,
by the sword of,
knowledge.
Iha, in this material world,
Eva,
even. Vrikna Moha,
whose illusion
is completely cut to pieces.
Harim.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Tat Iha, of His activities.
Katana Shrutabhyam.
By the two processes.
Of hearing and chanting.
Labdha Smriti.
The lost consciousness.
Is regained.
Yati.
Achieves.
Atiparam.
The ultimate end.
Adhvanaha. Of the path.
Back home.
Back to Godhead.
Translation
by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Simply by associating with exalted devotees, anyone can attain perfection of knowledge, and with the sword of knowledge can cut to pieces the illusory association within this material world. Through the association of devotees, one can engage in the service of the Lord by hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtan. Thus, one can revive his dormant Krishna consciousness, and sticking to the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, return home, back to Godhead, even in this life. Purport. To become liberated from material bondage, one must give up the association of worldly people and accept the association of devotees. Positive and negative processes are mentioned in this regard. Through the association of devotees, one develops Krishna consciousness, which is dormant within. The Krishna consciousness movement is giving this chance to everyone. We are giving shelter to everyone who is serious about processing in Krishna consciousness. We arrange for their lodging and board so that they can peacefully cultivate Krishna consciousness and return home back to Godhead even in this life.
Om Jnanti Minandasya Jnananjana Shratyavu Takso Minatavina Tatmai Shri Gurave Shri Chaitanya Manovishram Sadhangena Mure Swayam Rupa Pyamayam Yadhi Svakarantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamadam God attached to this baby deer. He thought that this is the will of providence, that he look after the baby deer. But as the Gita says, yam yam vapi svanan bhavam, wherever your mind is at the moment of death, that's where one goes. And one day, when the baby was out of sight, searching for the baby, he died. He had to take his birth as a deer, but he didn't have to stay for very long as a deer, because he had also done service in the past. And he took his birth in a Brahmin's family, where he was known as?
Jadbharat.
And as Jadbharat, he could remember the mistakes he had made. So he decided he was not going to repeat the mistakes that he had made. Once born, twice shy. You know that famous English phrase. So an intelligent man has this mentality, once born, twice shy. I made these mistakes, now I don't want to repeat. Just like in the 10th canto, you read the story of Nalukavara and Manigriva. They were the sons of Kuvera. And when the great Sinala was passing by, they didn't cover their bodies. And they were cursed by Narada Muni to become trees. But in the courtyard of Narada. But the mercy of Narada Muni, they could understand the mistake they made. So they resolved, they're not going to repeat that again. So, Jadbharat was very cautious. He was pretending in society as if he was deaf and dumb. But he was not deaf and dumb. He was fully alert. Shh.
Mobile.
Oh, somebody's mobile just went on.
Several mobiles are going
on. Giving people a heart attack. So, Jadbharat was pretending in society as if he was deaf and dumb. But actually he was not deaf and dumb. King Rahumana was a pious king. He was being carried in a palanquin to hear a discourse of Lord Kapila there. In ancient times, royalty would be carried in a palanquin. Just like today, if you're rich, you drive a fancy car. So, in those days, royalty would be carried in a palanquin, and the rest everybody had to walk. Or use the horse or the chariot or the carriages. So he was being, the King Rahumana was being carried in a palanquin. He was headed to hear a discourse. But he was getting late. He told his carriers, come on, speed up, I'm getting late. And they said, sir, we're going as fast as we can, we need more help. Oh, there's a handsome tall man with broad shoulders, long hands. Maybe we can rope him and bring him in. And Jadbharat was called to help carry the king. Jadbharat agreed. He was acting in society as if he was deaf and dumb. The king was being carried, but the palanquin, instead of going faster, ended up going slow. And it wasn't even. Then greatly annoyed the king. The king said, what is this? I told you all to go fast. Now you're going slow. Plus, you're not carrying me properly. And the servants, they pointed out, sir, we are not the blame for this. It is this new person that we added to our team that is not walking fast enough. Why was he not walking fast enough? Jadbharat was a Brahmin. The nature of a Brahmin is, he doesn't want to harm anyone, even an ant. That's the nature of a Brahmin. So Jadbharat would not keep his feet on the ground till he made sure They released for the next 3 feet. There was not a single living entity on the ground. Whereas the other pelican carriers were blind to this reality, and they were just, they didn't care if the feet stepped on entities or not. So the king began to chastise Jadbhan. Don't you know who I am? I'm the king, you're carrying me, and you're not doing a good job. Initially, Jadbharat tolerated the king's chastisement. But when he saw that the king was continuing with it, he began to speak. And when he began to speak, the king realized that this man is not deaf and dumb. This man is indeed fully self-realized. And the king got down from his palanquin and said, I'm not scared of anything. I'm not scared of Indra's thunderbolt also. But what I'm more scared of is offending a Vaishnava. And the king fell down, came down. So Vaishnava Prad is something that we should all avoid on the spiritual path. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was describing the process of devotional service. And he describes how the seed of devotional service grows through the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam. And he further advised to take advantage of spiritual association. But he said his whole beautiful garden of devotional service can get spoiled by Vaishnava Aparad. So our scriptures talk about this again and again. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also highlighted the importance of avoiding offenses. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was freely bestowing love of God on everyone. His devotees would say, you're so magnanimous, you're freely distributing love of God to everyone. Why not being kind to your mother? Why are you not bestowing love to such a mother? Mahaprabhu would always say, she has offended. What was such a mother's offense? She had in her mind anger against Advaita Acharya. Her older son Vishwarup would regularly associate with Advaita Acharya. They would study the Bhagavatam together, and he left home. So she was thinking, oh, it was the Advaita Acharya's association. And then later, her younger son also left home. So she would say, this Advaita is a man of duality, duplicity. That was only the thought in her mind. So when devotees would go to Advaita Acharya and say, the Lord says that Sachi Mata has offended you, he would say, oh, how can she offend me? She's the mother of the Supreme Lord. And Sachi Mata would ask her son, how can I atone for this? And the Lord told her, you can atone for this by taking the dust from the feet of Advaita Acharya. So when the Advaita Acharya was in ecstasy, meditating on Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And when he was offering his respects, Sachi Mata came from behind, took the dust from his feet, and she was pardoned by the Lord. The Lord was just highlighting the importance of avoiding Vaishnava Prad. So Jadbharat was approached by Rahugana, who begged forgiveness. Any begged for spiritualist instructions. The King Rahugana recognized that Jadbharat was indeed a man of great wisdom, and he begged him for spiritual knowledge. So we see in this chapter Rahugana being instructed by King Bharat, Jat Bharat. In the previous chapter also, there is an explanation of Rogana being instructed by Jat Bharat. But in the opening verses of this chapter, King Rogana said, I have heard your instructions, but I have not fully understood them. So please explain to me in great detail. So in this chapter, Jat Bharat explains in great detail what he has already explained. Just like very often we read the books, we hear the classes. We may not fully understand everything in the first attempt, but as we read again and again, we get to understand it better. So Jat Bharat is instructing King Rogana in depth about the philosophy of self-realization. So what is Jat Bharat saying in this verse? Simply by associating with exalted devotees, anyone can attain perfection of knowledge. This principle of association of devotees is highlighted in all our scriptures. This is not the only verse of the Bhagavatam that discusses this vital point. We have this famous verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastakaya. Nava Mata Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastakaya. By regularly associating with devotees, even if you associate for 1 40 to 1 second, your spiritual life will commence. And over here, what is Jat Bharat saying? By associating with exalted devotees. In the fourth canto, you read the wonderful pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates would regularly hear the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, not Rasavira. These are our spiritual heroes. So Dhruva Maharaj was offered any benediction that he may desire because he had undergone great austerities. And what did Dhruva say? My dear Lord, if you want to give me a benediction, please give me a benediction that I may always associate with exalted devotees. Prahlad Maharaj had to undergo so many turbulences because of his devotion to the Lord. And what's the wish he had? Association with the exalted devotees. So spiritual association is a must for anyone desiring spiritual advancement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was touring southern India, he met this famous devotee, Ramananda Roy, on the banks of the river Godavari. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy many questions. And one of the questions he asked was, what is the most painful experience for a devotee? Just like sometimes you undergo pain. And tell the doctor, ah, severe pain, give me a painkiller. So what was the most severe pain for a devotee? And what did Ramananda Roy say? Who knows? Apart from separation from devotees of Krishna, and now no unseparable pain. Separation from devotees of Krishna is a very painful experience. So we should mold our lives in such a manner that we can have regular association. And Prabhupada created this wonderful ISKCON society that gives us so much opportunity to associate. In the fourth canto, Narada Muni explains one can have three levels of association. You can associate with those who are more advanced. You can associate with those who are equally advanced. And you can associate with those who are less advanced. And now the Muni explains how we should behave in these different conditions. When you have the opportunity to associate with those remote ones, one becomes joyful because he's going to hear something that's going to help him on the spiritual path. When you associate with somebody equally advanced, one should make friendship. And when you meet somebody less advanced, what do you do? What do you do? Display compassion. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that in material life, when you meet somebody who is better off than you, you become envious. You just try to say, hey, that guy just cheated and became beggar. You try to pull him down. And in material life, when you meet somebody equally advanced, you try to show off how you are better off than him. Rat race. And when you meet somebody less impoverished, less advanced, or in a weaker position, what do? Exploit him. Just like the rich exploit the poor. The rich nations exploit the poor nations all over the world. It's common knowledge. But in spiritual life, when you meet somebody more advanced, you become happy and blissful. In the Bhagavatam 10th canto, there's the following example. The peacocks, when they see clouds for the first time in the rainy season, they become joyful and they dance in ecstasy. So similarly, when we have the opportunity to associate with those in more advance, we become joyful because we're going to hear something. It's going to help us make spiritual progress. Just like suppose you're suffering from something chronic, something severe, and you come across an expert physician or surgeon in that area, you think, God, maybe there's some hope to my disease. So when you have the opportunity to associate with those who are more advanced, we should take advantage of it. Then what do you have to do when you meet somebody equally advanced? When you meet somebody equally advanced, you make friendship. What does friendship in spiritual life mean? Friendship in material life means we facilitate each other's sense enjoyment, am I right? And when that cannot be facilitated, what do we say? Divorce. Separation. Bye-bye, am I right? But friendship in spiritual life means we work together to fulfill the mission of the Lord. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he started his preaching movement, he commissioned Haridas and Nityananda to go out preaching together. So friendship in spiritual life means we facilitate each other's service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when you meet somebody less advanced, then what do? You display compassion. Compassion in spiritual life means we try to enlighten them in spiritual life. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day invited Haridas and Nityananda and said, please go house to house and preach. What should they preach? Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Guru Krishna section. Tell everyone, please chant the names of Krishna, worship Krishna, and follow his instructions, shiksha, as it is mentioned in the scriptures. Make people realize that Krishna is your father and mother, and your only real guardian. And in accordance with the instructions of the Lord, Nityananda and Haridas started to preach. They started going house to house with this message. And as they were going house to house, some people would receive them very warmly. They would say, "Oh, the saintly people have come to our house to purify us. Please come in, tell us what you want us to do. And please have prasad." When they were offered prasad, they would say, "No, we don't want anything. Just agree to chant Hare Krishna." Some places where they would go, they would not be welcome at all. They would not even open the door. They would say, "This Dhamma has gone mad, and he's driving other people mad also. He sent these mad people to our house." And some places where they would go, they would say, "Looks like these thieves have disguised themselves as sadhus, and they're coming to see what's in our house, and then later they'll come to rob us." And when they would say, "These are thieves disguised as sadhus," Nityananda and Haridas would just laugh. So, that's the treatment that any of us gets, isn't it? You go preaching house to house, some people I'm sure welcome you, and some laugh at you. But that is to be expected. So, Jat Bharat is saying, if you associate with exalted devotees and devotees, you are going to receive transcendental knowledge. That's the characteristic of a devotee. He's not interested in talking about worldly affairs. You're more interested in talking about spiritual affairs. And if you are in the association of devotee, what will we gain? You'll gain knowledge. And with that sort of knowledge, you can cut to pieces the illusory associations within this material world. So what are the illusory associations? What are the illusory concepts of material life? One illusory concept is, I can find happiness in material life. I'm this body, but the real illusory concept is, I can get real happiness in material life. By pursuing materialistic activities, I can find real happiness. That is the biggest illusion. Where the scriptures say, doesn't matter how much you endeavor, doesn't matter how much you realize, you're not going to get any real happiness. Yeah, as there was a famous Vaishnava poet, Vidyapati, who said, material life means you struggle, 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 and you just get a drop of water. And you're thirsty in the desert, and somebody gives you a drop of water, and that quench your thirst. Okay, people can't live without food. So, if you get a drop of water, will that quench your thirst? No. So if you are in spiritual association, you're going to get transcendental knowledge for the importance of the Holy Name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he instructed Sanatana Goswami about principles of devotional service, he summarizes vast instructions into five main points. The first point was sadhu sangha. The first point was spiritual association. So we should so mold our lives that we can regularly have spiritual association. And now, like in Mauritius, you have several temples and preaching programs all over the country. So one is never too far from an assembly of devotees if one wants to associate. So if you get this spiritual association, you'll get genuine knowledge such as chant Hare Krishna, read the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. What does your chanting do? It cleanses our heart. Cleanses our heart of misgiving. We have experience. On occasions when you chant around attentively, sincerely, you feel spiritually high. You feel spiritually high, spiritual life appears more beautiful, and material life appears ugly. And when you become slack in your chanting, exactly the opposite happens. Material life all of a sudden becomes beautiful again. And spiritual life appears ugly, isn't it? So we can practically experience that when you chant, and maintain good sadhana, read, associate, how you feel. So, by association, you will get knowledge. And that knowledge will enable you to understand what is illusion and what is reality. Why do we cultivate spiritual knowledge? Why do we emphasize hearing the Bhagavatam? Na saprayesha vadreshu, nityam bhagavat sevaya. Bhagavad Gita Shloka, Bhakti Bhavati Nashti. By regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, all that is inauspicious in the heart will be destroyed. So, what is inauspicious in the heart? All these different anarthas. And Krishna says in the third chapter of the Gita, with the sword of knowledge, you should destroy all that. So, Jan Bharat is saying that with spiritual association, you'll get knowledge, and with this knowledge, you can cut the illusory concepts. So, Maya is very strong or weak?
Super strong.
Devi Shagrina Maya Mama Maya? Krishna himself says, this illusory energy of mind is very difficult to overcome. Someone may say, oh, Krishna himself is saying it's difficult to overcome, so what's the hope for me? I mean, but then what does Krishna say further? He says, Mame Mame Prabhadande Maya Mitam. But if you surrender to me, then what's difficult will become easy. Just like Rupa Goswami says in the seventh verse of the Udeshwarmith, the holy name is sweet like sugar candy. The parchments of the Lord are also sweet. But because our tongue is afflicted with avidya, what does avidya mean?
Ignorance.
Therefore, we can't taste the sweetness of the holy name. So somebody may say, oh, so what hope is there for me? I'm also afflicted with avidya. So I'm not going to get attached to the holy name. But then Rupa Goswami gives you the solution. He says, however, by regular chanting of the holy name, there's Battery always goes off. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Is it loud enough?
Yes.
But then Rupa, make it a little louder. But then Rupa Goswami says, if however you chant the holy name regularly, then the disease will get cured. The fortunate thing on the spiritual path is, the sages headed by Vyasadeva, they identify the problem and they give you the solution. In material life, problems often get diagnosed. Just like there's so many diseases to which there almost is no real solution. So you get identified. There's a disease you have. And you ask the doctor, is there a solution? Sorry, no solution. But in spiritual life, the sages identify the problem and give you the solution. Just like in the third chapter of Krishna was questioned, how is one compelled into sinful acts even unwillingly? Good question. It's a question that each of us can ask. And what did Krishna say? What did Krishna say? Shama is a Krodha is a Rajagunsa. It is lust only. The all-devouring enemy of the living entity is always burning like fire and is never satiated, isn't it? So he identifies what's the problem. But then he goes a step further. He tells you where this enemy can be found. Of course, your country doesn't have exposure to terrorism. But some countries like India, which have a lot of exposure to terrorism, you first identify where is the terrorist? Is he in the country? Which corner of the country is he, you know? So Krishna not only identifies the enemy, but he also says, where is this enemy to be found? Where? Mind. Intelligence. Senses. These are the sitting places of this external enemy known as lust. And then Krishna says, how to destroy this with the sword of knowledge. Knowledge means knowledge that you get by hearing, reading, especially in the association of devotees. So we are very fortunate in that the problems get identified and the solutions are presented. We don't need to do any research or make any speculative efforts. So just Bharat is saying over here, by associating with exalted devotees, you can get knowledge. And with a sword of knowledge, you can cut to pieces the illusory association. And through the association of devotees, one can take part in Shravanam and Kirtana. Isn't it a lot easier to pursue spiritual life when you are in the association of devotees?
Yes.
Yes? No?
Yes.
Let's say, I walk in parts of the world which are countries which are very huge, big, like Russia, India. And sometimes devotees end up getting jobs in areas where there isn't much association. And it's miserable. They always look forward to adjusting so they can be where they can associate with devotees. So in the association of devotees, it becomes easier to pursue spiritual life. And one pursues spiritual life through the process of hearing and chanting. Shravanam and Kirtanam forms the foundation for a spiritual life. Shravanam Kirtanam is most important. When Prahlad Maharaj asked the question, what is the best thing that you learned in school from a teacher? What did Prahlad say? He presented the ninefold process of devotional service. It was first revealed to him by the sage Narada when he was in the womb of his mother. So chanting and hearing is our most important activity. And if we regularly chant and hear, that will help us to make spiritual advancement. So, sadhu sangha, nama kirtan. If you are in spiritual association, you understand the importance of the holy name. And when you read the scriptures, you develop real knowledge. Raja vidya raja guyam. This knowledge is the king of education. Material knowledge, even if you obtain from the best of universities, doesn't tell you how to achieve the goal of life. Prabhupada was once giving a talk at a very prominent university in America. And he said, in this great university, is there any department that tells you what happens after death? And there was complete silence. So, material knowledge is full of many effects. The spiritual knowledge answers all your questions. So our goal should be stay in spiritual association. And to make the spiritual association more harmonious, our goal should be to look at the good in everyone. Look at the good in everyone rather than the weak spots in everyone. And if you look at the good in everyone, they will help promote more auspicious spiritual environment. This principle of spiritual association is emphasized again and again. In the third canto, you read about the dialogue between Kapila Dev and his mother Devahuti. Devahuti knew that her son did not ask for the Supreme Lord, and therefore she wanted guidance and how she could perfect her life. And what did Kapila Dev say? Please associate with devotees. By association with devotees, you will get spiritual knowledge. Sometimes we hesitate in associating with devotees. And sometimes we hesitate in associating with good devotees. They're like they say, birds of the same feather flock together. We don't want to be. But our desire should be to always associate with those that are more fixed up, so that his knowledge can help us advance spiritually. In the scriptures, this point is emphasized again and again, mainly because this is of utmost importance if we want to make spiritual advancement. Anyone who thinks that he can advance without spiritual association is an illusion. So the sages are guiding us. This is a verse in the fifth canto, in the third canto, seventh canto, fourth canto, there's so many verses that talk about spiritual association. Just because this is paramount if you want to make spiritual advancement. And Prabhupada encouraged us to be like the bee and not the fly. The fly is always looking for dirt. And the bee, the opposite. Being like a swan and not a crow. Swans identify as one that lives in a clean environment. And the crows are always looking for garbage. Sometimes we are always looking for prajalpa about other people. But of course, we look at the good in everyone. And that will help promote and very auspicious spiritual environment. It will help us to make spiritual advancement. So, we should be eager to take association and give association. We take association from those who are more advanced and those who are equals. And who do we give association to? Those who are less advanced. Paradukhadukhi. A devotee is concerned when he sees others on the inauspicious path of material life. Therefore, he endeavors to preach. Therefore, preaching is emphasized. Why? Because the Lord is very desirous that all the conditioned souls come back to Him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he met Haridas Thakur, he said, Haridas, how will these yavras and blechas be saved? And what did Haridas say? Aram, aram, balikai, samapase. By offensively chanting the holy name, they will be saved from the cycle of birth and death. So we have to popularize the importance of chanting the holy name. This is the principal medium through which you can attract the attention of the Lord, cleanse your heart. And the chanting is our most important business, thus studying Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada, one of these books, not only distributed, but also studied so that we are aware of what is the real goal of life, and so that we can remind ourselves of the importance of spiritual life. Hare Krishna. Any questions? I just wanted to say a few. Any questions? Yeah.
So, I'm from a different culture myself. I was raised in California.
We are all from different cultures. Actually, we're all from the same culture. The culture of material life. Doesn't matter which part of the world you live.
I come from a particularly unclean family.
That's your family.
Yes. But my training in California was quite wonderful, from Vaisheshika Prabhu, etc. So many exalted personalities. The instruction I got over and over and over again is if someone is consciously attacking Srila Prabhupada's movement, then we very swiftly remove them from the scene. I've never really seen a fully functioning temple outside of these places like Ujjain and Radhana Swami's ashram and Vaisheshika Prabhu's ashram and Shivaram Swami. We can name a few of them. Most of the temples I've been to are wrecked by infighting and aparad. And every day, if you read, if you attend class, you're told over and over again how you treat devotees, that is your fate. So what do? If someone is, I don't know what your policy is in Mauritius. I know in California they had me throw people out. What is the policy here in Mauritius for someone who is actively attacking ISKCON?
Well, I'm with the things that you ask you guys. But normally if somebody is attacking ISKCON, I don't think any ISKCON temple welcomes such an individual. I don't think there's disagreement on this issue. If someone's attacking and criticizing devotees, criticizing them, of course he should stay. Keep away. Am I right?
Yes.
And we should not associate with those who are blasphemers of other devotees. Jiva Goswami says, when you associate with those who are doing prajalpa, criticizing Vaishnavas, then you become a party to that sin. So we should be intelligent enough that if somebody is being blasphemy, we say, oh Prabhu, I'm not so advanced, please forgive me, I can't give you a recovery. So no one's going to speak to the walls. Any other questions? Yeah?
Maharaj, you said you were speaking about how this material world has no happiness.
No real happiness.
Full of suffering. So when we go through this suffering, we should see it like as an impetus to become more serious and get out. But on the other hand, there's also this culture that when we go through suffering, that we should try and mitigate it by, you know, devotees often will go to remove the evil eye, or go to astrologer, chant mantras. So I would like to know from you, please, how far should a devotee go in mitigating suffering?
Let's say you have a disease, then naturally you want the disease to be cured. Now, if there is suffering, then someone thinks, oh, I'm going to go to a tantric. The tantric says, start worshipping Lord Shiva. And I do that. That should be reward. If you have a suffering and you're trying to arrest it or correct it through practical processes, then there's no harm. But if you think that by going to a tantric or by going to someone who gives you instruction, then weaken your Krishna consciousness, that should not be accepted. Regarding going to astrologers, Prabhupada did say astrology was a science, provided you get the right astrologer. I have seen even in Russia that devotees, people who fail in every profession, succeed in one astrology. I've known so many people who couldn't get a job in anything. Now they're making good money doing astrology. So the point of making it, astrology has become a highly successful commercial venture. Where people have, everyone is in so much distress. But if you do get a genuine astrologer, then you can consult. If a genuine astrologer tells you something that will weaken your Krishna consciousness, then that should also be ignored. We should not accept any advice or practice any process that weakens our practice of Krishna consciousness. Yeah.
Thank you much.
And just if he was a Vajradeva Goswami. Today is also the appearance, is it appearance? Vajradeva Goswami was on the planet 300 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Vajradeva Goswami and his wife, the nine wives, they were at one time serving the king of Bengal called Lakshman Sena. But they were in the palace of the king serving. His wife Padmavati was an expert dancer. And both husband and wife only had one meditation, how to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So for a while they were serving in the palace of the king. And then Jayadeva Goswami left his duties in the king's palace and went to Champahati in Navadev, where he was living in a hut. Living in a hut, he was composing Gita Govinda that describes the very intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And as he was describing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, a thought came to his mind, Krishna touches the feet of Radha Rani. As he was about to write that line, his hand would not move. And he began to think, oh, how can I present this? If Krishna touches the feet of Radharani, this may not compromise the Supreme Lord's position. Someone will say, how is the Supreme Lord? He's touching Radharani's feet. So, Jayadeva Goswami was just in meditating what to do. And he told his wife, I'm going. Take my bath in the Ganga and I'll come back and then have prasad. They would have Radha Madhav Mahaprasad. So he went to the Ganga to take his bath. Soon after he left, somebody else appeared in the house, dressed up exactly like Jayadeva Goswami. And Jayadeva Goswami, this person came and wrote on that poem that he was writing. The one line that Jayadeva Goswami wanted to write, but did not write, Krishna touches the feet of Radharani. So when Jayadeva Goswami was back so fast, Padmavati said, oh, we just left and he came back so fast. And Jayadeva Goswami, Krishna said, yes, I came back very fast today. So Padmavati served her husband, prasad, and he went away. A little later, her real husband came. And he said, is it you? Didn't you just eat? Didn't I just feed you prasad and now you're back again? And Jayadeva Goswami said, no, I didn't come back. I'm just returning from my bath in the Ganga. So, Padmavati and her husband were in dilemma. Who was this other person who came? Who looked exactly like Jayadeva Goswami? Looked exactly like Jayadeva Goswami? Who was it? Who did I serve? And then Jayadeva Goswami began to read his composition. And there he saw that one line that he was hesitant in writing was already written. And then he concluded, oh, that was Krishna. This guy said Jayadeva Goswami, who knew that Jayadeva Goswami was hesitant. And then Krishna wrote that one line. And Jayadeva Goswami said, Padmavati, you're so fortunate. You serve prasad to Krishna directly. You're so fortunate Krishna came to the house. And then Jayadeva Goswami moved to Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very fond of Gita Govinda, Sarup Damodaran would regularly sing this Gita Govinda. And Jayadeva Goswami instituted the system that the Gita Govinda is read every day to Jagannath deities in the Jagannath Puri temple. So today is the appearance day?
Disappearance
day of Jayadeva Goswami. So falling by the feet of Jayadeva Goswami, we can all pray. We may be blessed with pure love of God. Jayadeva Goswami ki?
Jai.
Okay, more questions? Yes.
What was the mood of Prabhupada when it was about kicking a devotee out of ISKCON?
Kicking a devotee out of ISKCON? Kicking a devotee out of the temple?
Both.
Well, generally, as a rule, we don't kick devotees and we don't like kicking devotees. Only if somebody in an extreme case creating disturbance, you would do that. Is that right, Hari Dev? Is that the standard in Mauritius also? Only if somebody is really doing something crazy, we keep them out of the temple. But generally, our philosophy is to save the conditioned soul. Am I right, honey, there? He asked a question. What was your question?
What was Prabhupada's mood in response?
So I said, generally we don't kick people out unless somebody is really acting in a crazy manner. That's pretty much a universal standard. Okay, any more questions? Yeah.
Regarding Jagat Bharat, Bharat Maharaj with the deer, he became attached to the deer. I've seen in Mauritius some devotees keeping dogs also. Say something about that.
I know some situations in some countries where the crime rate is high, they keep dogs for security. Mauritius is a friendly country. Well, what can I say? Lord Chaitanya, when he was young, he kept some puppies, you know. And Masachi Mata said, "We are Brahmins, you can't keep puppies in the house." And the Lord said, if we don't keep these puppies, I'm going to leave home. So mother had no choice. But one day, someone came to Nimai and said, Nimai, your mother has released the puppies. Do you know where they are? So Nimai was very angry. He said, all his friends, please look for those puppies. And then they found that puppy. Where? And now they're chanting and dancing on two legs and two hands to raise up. And in front of everyone, he went back to God. If you want to give a dog or a puppy, it's a guarantee you'll make him a pure devotee. Otherwise, you won't do it.